I want to preach something that I believe the Lord has been dealing with me about, and we've been praying about this, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua. That's in the Old Testament. Book of Joshua, chapter 10. And I want to deal with this on this wise, and I believe you'll be blessed by it. You'll find out in just a few minutes that I talk a little funny. I'm a Cajun from New Orleans, Louisiana. And that's a blessing. I just thought I'd tell you. I had a man ask me one time, he said, is Cajun people white people? I said, Cajun people are anything they want to be. It don't make a lick of difference, glory to God. We're just glad to be alive. Hallelujah. But I want to minister on this wise today. Last night we had what we call a minister's meeting, and God began to deal with me about what to minister on. And I really believe the word of God. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And for you people that don't know me, before I was saved, I didn't look like I look today. I was a rock musician. I mean, long-haired freaky boy. So you don't look like that now because I'm anointed now. It started with my head. Glory to God. It's gotten white on me. Hallelujah. It's a blessing of the Lord. I don't know why some of you laughing. You got it too. It looked like some of y'all lost it too. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I want to preach something I believe you'll be blessed by. Joshua chapter 10. Hold your finger there and go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is about ready to be told by God to do something. And he's just come out of a funeral. I mean, my Lord, people have been mourning and bawling and squalling for 30 days. And it's the book of Joshua chapter 1. If you look at the last chapter in the book of Deuteronomy, and chapter 34, verse 7, it says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eyes was not dim. The boy didn't wear no glasses. Isn't that a blessing of God? Nor his natural force abated. In other words, he didn't look like 120. He didn't need liposuction or anything of that nature. He didn't need his face lifted up, you know, and things of that nature. I mean, his natural forces were not abated. Verse 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 34. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. That's a long funeral, isn't it? A long wait. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses was ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. Notice that. You can lay hands on people and release the anointing of God that's in your life into them by the power of Jesus in your life. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And in all that mighty hand, in all the great terror which Moses showed into the sight of all of Israel. So now Moses is weeping, or his wake is over. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Now notice what God tells Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. We've had the funeral. I buried the boy. Now it's time to get on with this thing. Notice that. He said, you've wept, you've mourned. That's nothing against Moses, but now he's enjoying himself in heaven. It's time for you to pick up this Pentecostal torch. Now think about that. Now, Moses must, I mean, that point blunt blank. God said, the boy is dead. Now notice, if Jesus wouldn't have said that, they'd have still been out there crying for him. Notice that. He says, time to do something now. Forgetting those things which are behind, not forgetting the man, but reaching out to those things which are before, we press toward a mark for a prize. I had a man ask me, he said, how do you live? I said, I always live in the now. I don't live in the past. I don't live in the future. I just live in the now. I thank God that I live in the now. He said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, notice the next word. He says, now, therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Already done it. Now he's got to go possess it. See, God saw him walking by faith across that land, across that Jordan. Now it's up for him to put action behind what God saw. Notice that. Now, you know, he didn't realize how much obstacles he's going to have. There's always a devil in the land where you should be. Because the devil's a thief. He's robbed everything from us. He don't own nothing. I mean, everything he got comes from us. I want you to understand that everything the devil ever got from me. The earth is the Lord and everything is His, and I'm an heir with God and a joint heir with Jesus. I made up my mind I'm a wealthy man. I mean, Sam Walton don't have nothing on me. Nothing. My God, he owns Walmart. I own the world. That's quite a lot. That's great. But he says, listen, son, it's time to get on with this job. And he tells him what to do. But as God goes along, God's kind of a funny person in a sense. He don't care how many demons are out there. He don't care how many devils are out there. He just tell you, go possess the land. He has full faith and confidence in you that you can do it. He really does. He just said, I just go get it. And you think, well, that's nice. But there's 900 giants out there. I'll just knock them down. Well, that's easy for you to say. Well, that's right. But you do it. Because see, we are his hands. We are his feet. Now, notice this. Joshua begins to go into battles, Jericho and this great city called Ai. And then five kings come up against him. Five odds. I mean, the odds are 5-1 that Joshua's going to lose. Now, jump over with me to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua's now in the fighting business. God tell him, listen, it's now time to do something. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I made up my mind to always believe in the now. As you turn in with Joshua chapter 10, the Lord gave me something a few months back that really helped me. And it's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's called the faith verse, but really the whole Bible is the faith Bible. It says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why does God use stuff you can't see? Don't you wish he'd use something you could see? Wouldn't you like just to slap a few devils once in a while in person? Wouldn't you like to slap a few people in person? Be honest. Yes, you would. I've said it to myself, Lord, I'll hit them so fast, they'll think it's the anointing of God to knock them to their shoes. Then I had to repent after I said that statement. Now faith is a substance of things, so for the evidence of things not seen. The reason why God uses stuff you can't see, because if you can't see it, neither can the devil. Because the devil is not a faith devil. The devil is a flesh devil. He only goes by what he sees. He only operates in the natural. That's why he said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, if these things are not common to you, he can't use them. In other words, he's got to go by what he sees. He sees Jesus. He's so spiritually dead. He says, hey, if you be the Son of God, do something. That's what he said. Turn them stones into bread. What did Jesus say? No. Jesus wouldn't do nothing he could see. Now, Jesus could have turned the whole mountain into a loaf of French bread with a log of butter running down the valley. He had that kind of power. But he simply said, no, I will not do anything that you can see. I am using stuff you can't see. You understand? That keeps the devil dumbfounded. I mean, because he don't know what's going on because he only moves on the flesh. But if you crucify the flesh daily instead of Sunday, daily. And I've said this so many times before. You'll not fulfill any part of the flesh. Because you don't do things he can see. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. When you stand by faith, you look like the biggest idiot in town. People say, what's wrong with you? Say, I'm believing by faith. You've got to be kidding. Has it come to that? Yes. Why do they think you're crazy? Because you're using stuff they can't see. That's why they think we're nuts. And I realize if I can't see it, neither can the devil. But I know it's there because I'm spiritually alive and he's spiritually dead. I tell him all the time. I said, there's a weapon coming, going to cut your guts out. You can't see it. Get ready to bleed, boy. It's coming. He gets nervous. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Notice that. Things you can't see. Isn't that a blessing to God? Now, I made up my mind about receiving prayer or receiving things from God. Now, faith is. The word now is present tense. The word faith is in the middle. And the next word is. Now, faith is. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's now. God wants you living in the now. But I hadn't been taught like that in church. Man, God said, Jesse, now faith is. And the church says, what? What did you say? I say, now faith is. And the church says, is faith now? No! Now faith is. Oh yeah, I got it, I got it. Is faith now or when the Lord gets ready? He said, no, I said now. What does now mean to you people in California?
Now,
when you want to be healed, when you want to be blessed, when you want to be saved, when you want to walk in the power of God, when you want to receive it, that's what I'm talking about. Why is that so hard? Now faith is, not is faith now. I'm telling you, it don't make no difference. I don't live in the future. I live in the now. I want things done now. When I'm hungry, I want to eat now. Bless God, I'll hug Kathy and grab a chicken leg at the same time behind her. Whenever she cooks, which is very seldom. Which is okay. We don't have no more children. My daughter's married and my dog's dead. And it's wonderful. I love it. I did not mourn for that dog 30 days, I'll tell you that much. In fact, he got hit by a car. And Kathy said, Jesse, pray for him. I said, oh yeah, okay, okay. Take him home, God. Get him off the earth. I did pray that kind of prayer. My daughter asked, she said, Daddy, you think he went to heaven? I said, no, he's a heathen dog. I don't think he made it. He was deceitfully wicked. He really was. You notice I'm patting my face because I got this. They said, don't wipe your face because your Mary Kay liable to fall off. I do a lot of television production. One time I forgot to take mine off and I went out to get something to eat. I forgot about it. And I walked in, this man said, oh, hello. I went, oh! I mean, all through the whole meal, I talk low. Hey, give me a glass of water now. They were like, wow. It made me nervous. Y'all got the Joshua yet? Good. Notice this, Joshua's fighting a battle. And I want to start reading in verse 12. Five kings have come up against this man. Five of them. It's five to one odds that he's going to lose. But like Brother Copeland preached this morning, they forgot the anointing factor. They forgot what God could do. And God always said there's more with us than there is with them. It don't look like it, but that's what God said. So Joshua begins to fight and he starts losing time. And in verse 12, the Bible said, then spake Joshua to the Lord in a day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still. If you look in the original Hebrew, it actually says this, son, be dumb. That's exactly what it means. Because see, the sun's not moving. The earth's moving. See, but what actually happened, he said, son, be dumb. And the sun went, you know, dumb people don't do much. They just kind of stand still. You ever seen that? That's what that means. Son, be dumb. And he said, moon, stay over in the valley of Angelon, verse 13. And the sun stood still, or became dumb, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go up down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And the reason, you read verse 11, God rained down hailstones. Glory to God. I mean, let me tell you something. God is powerful. Notice, if you keep on reading, you'll find verse 15, and Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Mekedek. Notice, they went there looking for a place of refuge, and actually, that's where their tomb became. Praise God. And it was told Joshua, saying, verse 17, that the five kings are found hid in a cave at Mekedek. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue the after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hands. Verse 20, and I like this statement, and it came to pass. That's one of my favorite phrases in the Bible. People always ask me, what's your favorite phrase in the Bible? And it came to pass. What's your favorite word in the Bible? Suddenly. That's my two favorites. Suddenly. there's a sound from heaven. God does things quick, if you understand the word suddenly. Suddenly. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Mekedec in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, this is where I want to get to, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. Verse 24, and it came to pass, there's that phrase again, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all. Notice, he didn't say some. To all your enemies against whom ye shall fight. Verse 24 again. Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. The title of this sermon today is keep your foot on the devil's neck. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. Notice Joshua didn't do it. He asked his people to come and put their feet on the necks of those kings, which showed that Israel was in complete authority over all those nations because the Lord had fought for them. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. I'm telling you, if you lose it, a war with the devil is because your foot's not on his neck. Now, I want to deal with that. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. I enjoy that. God, every year I go before him and I ask him, Lord, what do you want us to do? He said, what are you prepared to do, boy? What do you want to do this year? And I think, well, what do you mean? He said, I'll do anything you can be prepared for. Now, that's a strong statement. He said, you want to heal a sick? Yeah. You want to raise the dead? Yeah. Well, let's go. I said, now let's don't get crazy with this thing. God would do anything we get prepared to do. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. I made up my mind that God's word will work no matter whether I see it or not. This word will work. Jesus said, if I'll just believe his word. He didn't say if I just read his word. He said, if I believe. Now, I've read the word for many years, but I never believed it. I never believed it at all. You know, I went to church most of my childhood life. I've been a Methodist. I've been a Baptist. I've been a Catholic. If you're from New Orleans, you got to be Catholic at least once. I mean, I've been christened. I've been baptized. I've been sprinkled. I've been dunked. You name it. I mean, I've been through it all. I've taken communion every kind of way. I've eaten Holy Host, and I've eaten saltine crackers. And I've eaten unleavened bread. I've eaten French bread. My God, I mean, I was waiting for pork sausage one day. I've eaten every kind of thing in the covenant. But if you don't understand what the covenant is, the devil will get on top of your head instead of your foot getting on top of his neck. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. Joshua commanded his people, come and put your feet on the necks of these kings. I love and enjoy stomping the devil. I don't care where I'm at. I love the rile of the devil. I enjoy aggravating the boy. I get up in the morning. How can we aggravate that boy today? And my God, if I see people that are heathen religions, I'll follow them around. I'll just follow them around, bless God. And they just look at me, you know, and they go, how you doing? I said, oh, I'm highly favored of the Lord. I'm blessed. And that shakes them up when you say those kind of things. They say, we're religious people. I said, that's why I'm following you around. It's fun following religious people around. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. Well, how do I do that? Well, number one, fasting and praying helps a lot. How do you keep the devil under your feet? Well, fasting and praying. Not feasting and playing, but fasting and praying. It's hard to fast, though. It really is not easy to fast because your body loves food. Last night, a Dorito corn chip woke me up. A Tostito. I thought about it. I'm talking 3 o'clock in the morning. I thought about a Tostito. How many of y'all thought about food at 3 o'clock in the morning? Don't lie. I mean, mean I did, bless God. It has a voice. It'll talk to you. It'll call you out at night. It'll call you during the day. Mexican food will call you, bless God. That's some of the best. Don't you love cholesterol? How many of y'all enjoy cholesterol? Isn't it wonderful? It sure beats eating salads, don't it? You may not live as long, but you'll die with a smile on your face. Lord God, I'd like to die with refried beans in my mouth. I would. It would be a blessing of God. Instead of a piece of celery. I could see somebody embalming my body pulling celery out my teeth. He must have been a health food junkie. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. How do I do that? By fasting and praying. Now, I don't like it. My body, boy, when I go to fast, it says, what's the matter with you? Are you crazy? Wouldn't be for me. You wouldn't be walking around. And I tell it, no, it wouldn't be for me. The Spirit of God, you couldn't even live, flesh. Because the life force of God doesn't come from my body. It comes from the Spirit that's within me. So I made up my mind to keep my foot on the devil's neck. Stand on the Word of God and believe. Now, I've had many opportunities to fail. I've had many opportunities, bless God, to mess up. But I decided not to take any. I just said, no, thank you. I'll just walk in the accordance the way God wants me to walk. Now, people get nuts when you start walking like the Word. When you start walking, you get ready for criticism. That's, who do you think you are? Well, just how much time you got. I'd have to tell you who Jesus is to tell you who I am. When you understand that, you'll walk in that power. Now, it takes a long time to tell you who Jesus is. It took Genesis to Revelation. Then you got to get Revelation up on top of that revelation. So, I mean, I've had people say, are you arrogant with the gospel? I said, no, I'm not. I just am what Jesus said I am. Hey, don't get mad at me. I didn't say that about me. God said that about me. Keep your foot on that devil's neck. Now, God said this. If fasting and praying will help you. That's the power source of living daily for Jesus. And that's called living by faith. Now, I don't fast to impress God. I just fast to keep my generator on. I constantly want spiritual voltage running through me. Because you never know who I'm going to run into. You don't know what devil you're going to meet on a road. I mean, I fly 300,000 miles a year. They got some devils on Delta Airlines. There's some devils on American Airlines. There's devils on Continental. There's even devils on Southwest Airlines. They may give you love bites, that's a bag of peanuts, but there's some devils on there. I've sat next to some devils. I've had people ask me, what do you do for a living? I say, I'm an evangelist. Oh, boy. They go, an evangelist? They get scared. They grab their wallet. They do. They get nervous. You're an evangelist. Yeah, I say, I'm from Louisiana. What do you think about that? Whoa, they want to run from me then. I used to not want to say that, you know, when all the scandals going on. I didn't want to say that. You know, people look at you and go, evangelist. And if you put tele-evangelist, that was worse. So people say, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a motivational speaker. The Lord said, no, you're not. You're a God-called sent evangelist from me. I tell him who you are. I said, I'm a God-called sent evangelist. Calm down, not too loud, not too loud. People get nervous, you know. Just keep your foot on the devil's neck, standing on God's word. How do I do that? Number one, fasting and prayer. Jesus said this in Isaiah, is not this the fast I have chosen? Is not this? What he was saying was, if you want to bust this trouble or obliterate this yoke of bondage, you got to fast and pray instead of feast and play. Now, I believe in enjoying my life, but there comes times where you have to pull yourself away and say, God, today I feel myself up, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Not for me, but for the people that I will come into contact that they may eat from my life. You know, there's many times you have opportunity to pour yourself in people's lives. But if you don't have nothing to pour, they'll walk away hungry. They'll walk away thirsty. And people say, my daughter asks me all the time, Dad, you just love church. Well, Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst. He used those two terms. You ever been hungry, so thirsty, there's cotton in your mouth. Your saliva's done turned into cotton balls. You're going, I mean, you see somebody sweating you want to lick their face. I'm talking, you are thirsty. Did y'all get that revelation? I'm talking thirsty. Do you hunger after God like that? Do you go, oh, God, if I could just get around you, if I could just bless you, if I could just come here so I can hug you. Come here. Are you at the front of your church before the door opens? Say, open the door so I can get in there. Or do you say, I don't know why, bless God, they got all them services at that believer convention. Bless God. Why don't they have one at night and one in the morning, man, so we can go out and play during the day? Because this is not a playing time. This is a feeding time. You see, you're going to need all you hear this week, next week. I promise you the devil will test you on everything you hear next week in this meeting this week. Because I want to tell you, he's not missing any service. How many of you missed it? Well, we lost a few. People went, Keep your foot on the devil's neck. All he told Joshua was to tell them to put their feet on the necks of these kings. Just put them. Now, let me tell you a little story that will parallel it. This will help you. You know, I come from South Louisiana. We were very, very poor people. And in those days, when you wanted a chicken, when you wanted to have a fried chicken, and that's when it was healthy, you know, when you could eat it every Sunday. Glory to God. You know, you didn't go to Safeway. You didn't go to Dale Shamps. I don't know if y'all got that in California or any of these stores. You went in your backyard to get you a chicken. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Hold your hand up. You've been back there. They call it a chicken coop. You raise your own chickens, and you pluck the feathers, and you do whatever you need to do, and you cook them chickens. I had a wonderful grandfather. I mean, I would say one of the best grandfathers ever lived. He never went to school but one day in his life, and he didn't like it, and he quit. That's right. His mother left him on a New Orleans street wharf. He turned around. He had no mom, and he knew he was in trouble, so he walked down to this old Cajun fisherman. He said, listen up. Can I go to work in your boat? He's 5 years old. He knew it. He was in trouble. The man took him and raised my grandfather. My grandfather became a very hard, robust man. I'm the smallest one in my family. My grandpa wore a size 15 ring. He had fingers this big. I mean, he had such powerful hands, at, you know, from pulling shrimp nets. I mean, I just idolized him. I mean, I called him Papa. I said, Papa! I mean, and he loved oranges. And we used to live down in Venice, Louisiana, about 90 miles past New Orleans. My daddy was working for an oil company, and they'd have orange trees. He said, go up that tree and get me some oranges. Boy, and I'd just rip oranges off that tree, knock him in the head with them oranges. And he could just sit there and eat oranges. He just loved oranges. But he was so powerful, he picked me up by the seat of the pants and hold me at the top of the tree. And I was ripping oranges out. We were stealing them is what we was doing, but we was getting them. My grandpa wasn't saved. You got to understand, he wasn't saved. And neither was his grandson, neither. I wasn't saved myself. And I just loved him. I just idolized him. And my mother let us stay with them for a couple of days. They had some business they had to do. Now watch this. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. Watch this. How this happened. So he said, well, we going to eat some chicken. He said, your grandma going to fry some chicken, boy, with some gravy. And I went, whoa, yeah, I like that, you know. He said, come on with me, Jesse. I want to show you something. So I walked back there, and he had the meanest chickens you ever saw. Them chickens were demon-possessed, every one of them. I hated them chickens. Because you get around that, haw, haw. I mean, they were like dogs. They attack you. I mean, they just come out and hit you with their toes. They spur you. How many people know what I'm talking about? I'm talking mean chickens, man. Demon-possessed chickens, you know. Raggedy-looking chickens. We went in there. I said, I don't want them to bite me, boy. He said, stay behind me, boy. He weighed 260 pounds. He was a huge man. So I'm behind him like that. He said, now, Jesse, go shoot that chicken in the corner. I said, no, he gonna bite me. I don't want to shoot that chicken. No, he said, come on, son. He said, boy, you part of my life. You got strength in your body. Now get over there and shoot that chicken. I'm a little, I said, okay. Shoo. Man, for some miracle, I got that chicken in the corner. And my grandpa said, catch it. Oh, no, and I didn't put my hand on the chuck. That was not in the deal. You just told him to shoot him in the corner. I shoot him in the corner. So my grandpa, when that chicken knew it, you could see it in that chicken's eyes. God forgive me. Today, I'll meet you face to face with a Cajun chewing on my leg as I go to heaven. Glory to God. Make a long story short, he grabbed that chicken. He said, go get me that hatchet. So man, I'm a little bit bored. I'm about ready to see something I never saw in my life. Never. He said, I'm going to show you something, son. I said, what are you going to do? He said, watch this. And he laid that chicken down. He laid that chicken on the ground, and he took that little hatchet, and he's looking at me, and he got that little smile like, I said, watch this, keep your foot on the devil's neck, watch it. And he raised it. I said, what you gonna do, Papa? He said, just watch this. And boom, he comes down with that hatchet, but the chicken went, sucked his neck in, missed the chicken. He missed the chicken. So I looked at him, I said, Papa, you missed the chicken. He said, isn't that something? I said, I'd pull my head in too. And he's looking at and smiling at me, man. But I'm still nervous of them chickens. Them other chickens going, they knew murder was in the camp. They knew murder was in the camp. But I didn't, I've been looking, bless God. So he picks that hatchet up again, lays that bird down like that. And he said, watch it. I said, now I'm a little fella about this big. He goes, watch it. Boom! And that chicken went, just move. And he missed the chicken. I said, Papa, you missed him. He said, nah, I'm going to get his head. And he took that big foot and he stuck it on that chicken's head. And he hold that by. That chicken went, oh. That's the last word that chicken ever said. I know what it meant. Father, forgive me, I've sinned. This is the only time I can confess. And he took that hatchet. Now, I'm a little boy. And he go, wham, and he cuts that chicken's head off. Man, the blood splurts. I go, oh. And he looks at me. And he takes that dead chicken and he throws it at me. I run, I go, oh. And everywhere I'm running, that chicken just running after me. I mean, I run to this side. Here come that chicken, blood spurting out his head. How many people saw that before? Everywhere you run, that dead chicken after me. I'm going, ah! Ah! Finally, I'm up against the fence going, ah! And my grandpa's laughing. He said, Jesse, that chicken's dead. I said, he don't know he's dead. He don't know he's dead. Look at him. And that chicken. Man, he got right up to me and just fell over. I looked at that chicken, I punted that chicken, bam! That chicken was dead running. Let me tell you, the devil's head has been bruised. He's under your feet. Bless God, you can destroy everything the devil has. All he is just a little chicken fluffing his wings. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. You'll never get his head till you put your foot on him. And the Bible said Satan's head's bruised. He's restricted. He's rejected and he's defeated. How can anybody get depressed when your enemy is already defeated? Why can't you live by faith? Why can't you walk by grace? My Lord, it's ladies and gentlemen, we're just walking to the throne to get our trophy. It's already been done. I don't know why people struggle. It's already been done. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. Your chicken may be cancer. And it's going, but it's headless. Because Jesus said everything that's named has to bow at the name of Jesus. It's got to sit down. You people in wheelchairs, those chairs going to have to break away so you can stand to your feet and say, my God has healed my body. It's just a chicken fluffing his wings. That's all it is. If we could understand that. But we try. He said, the just shall live by faith. He said, the just shall try by faith. I've had some people say, I'm going to try that stuff by going to some of them meetings. I tell them, don't come. It ain't going to work. You don't try to get married, you do, don't you? Jerry, if you was going to marry a couple of married, you know, I assume you married your daughters or something. If you'd have said, do you take my daughter to be your lawful wedded wife? And your son-in-law said, I give it my best shot. I try. You'd say, boy, go sit down. Get out of here. Until you know. I never forget when that young man came and asked me for my daughter. It shocked me. I only have one daughter. She's a blessing of God. And this young man comes in and says, Mr. Jesse, I want to ask you for the hand of your daughter. And I made a joke. I said, oh, you can have both of them, Ed. It don't make no difference. As long as you bring them home by 11 o'clock at night. Then I realized what he was saying. I said, you asking me what I think you're asking me? He said, yeah. He was nervous. I said, Ed, let me tell you something. I'll tell you something about marrying my daughter. Word number one, you can never bring her back. That's what I told him. I said, this is forever, Ed. Now look at her right now. Look at her. Isn't she beautiful? Her skin's tight, Ed. There ain't nothing sagging. Take pictures, Ed. Take movies. Because it's going down, boy. It's coming down. Take pictures. That's the truth. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But y'all in California, man, you can suck it up tight behind your ears. You can look young. What's wrong with that? The other day, I have a Louisiana head, but I got a California neck. I got one of them Reagan necks. See? You know, that was President Reagan could stand by a helicopter, and his head never moved, but his neck slapped Nancy all over the place.
I hope he's not here today. Nancy going, Ron, we got to do something about that neck. And he said, well, my wife told me that you're getting that Reagan neck. I was brushing my teeth the other day and I stopped brushing my teeth and my face was still moving. I looked at it, it was going. What are y'all laughing at me for? I see y'all going. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. Joshua, command the people to come put their feet on the necks of these kings. How do I do that, sir? You fast and pray and keep your generator full of the Spirit of the living God. Jesus says a verse of scripture that I love. It's in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God. This was wrote 2,000 years ago, 4 years born, and he's telling you to say thanks. Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Isn't that a blessing? People get mad when you triumph. What's the matter? You're not normal? No. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar person. I'm not normal. I don't belong here. I'm not of this world. I'm an alien. I'm looking for the new city that's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, I really have a hard time getting sick. Why? Because of the blood covenant. Every time I take that blood covenant, every time I go to a church, I see a communion table says, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. So when I take that bread, brother, and I eat it, I say, Lord, I remember that by your stripes I am healed. I want to let you know, I remember, and I holler that as loud as I can. I remember, and my body will remember. When I take that communion blood, brother, I remember, Lord, you washed my sin away, never to be held against me anymore. I cannot be condemned, because there's therefore now no condemnation. I remember. Same thing with money. Say, how's money? Oh, he will supply all my need. Just how rich God is. I had to do a study to figure out since he's been financing me. Are y'all sweating as much as I am? I got it running down the back of my legs. I feel sorry for the cleaners when they get these pants. I just did a little research on God. He said he'll supply all my need. How do I keep my foot on the devil's neck when it comes to finances? Find out how much God's got. Find out who's backing you, man. Then I realized I live on a planet Earth, which is one planet out of 100 billion in a galaxy called the Milky Way, which Mr. Carl Sagan said. Then I found out I got 100 billion galaxies, like the Milky Way galaxy, with 100 billion planet moons and stars in each one of them. That's the wealth of God. Think about that. The Dead Sea's got $1 trillion worth of chemicals they never touch. That's just our little planet. We just found out on USA Today that they got some more planets they didn't know we had. That's the wealth of God. The Bible said the heavens shout of the glory of God. So God can handle your light bill. God can handle anything you can think about. In Louisiana, Texas, and Oklahoma, when oil industries begin to falter, it hurts the economy. A man asked me this not long ago. Well, is the recession hurting you, Brother Jesse? I said, we're not participating. I refuse. I don't have time to say gloom and despair and agony on me. I have time to keep my foot on the devil's neck. And you know, the only way God can slap the boy is if I move my foot off his neck. Think about that. In other words, God said, just hold him down till I kick him in the lake of fire. See, the devil can only see 2 feet, yours and God's coming. You understand? And I'm going to see Jesus kick him in the lake of fire. You're going to be standing there too. I'm going to say, wait a minute, let me slap him a couple of times. Bless God before you kick him in the lake of fire. He can only see 2 feet, your feet and God's. That's all he's got. If you just understood that, that's why Joshua wasn't worried of going against odds of 5-1, 5 kings. God said, if you quit, brother, I'll let your people fight and I'll send hailstones. You ever been in a hailstorm? You ever been in a tornado? We come from a place called Hurricanes in South Louisiana. crazy thing. I remember being on the second story floor in 1965 when Hurricane Betsy came into New Orleans. Now, I mean, I'm on the second floor of a high school, stuck my hand out the window and touched water. Water 18 feet high in the streets. I'm going to tell you, wind doing 135, 150 miles an hour sustained, not counting tornadoes that are inside of that sustained wind. Let me tell you something. You're going to pray, atheist or not, you are going to pray. You ain't going to say, I wonder if there's a God, a tree will slap you four times. You know it is. I've seen railroad tracks just tore up like spaghetti, man, and wrapped around telephone posts. I've seen a barge go right downtown, right in the middle of the town. I've seen 18-foot levees bust open with the waves that were coming in. I'm talking, and snakes, because they're trying to survive. I've seen as high as 400 people die of snake bites on top of the house slapping snakes. I was a little boy. I'm telling you, it's tough out there. But you know what? We didn't get hurt because I had a mom and a dad that just believed God's word, had a heritage of faith. They said, we'll not lose our house. We won't lose nothing. We never lost nothing in all the hurricanes, rest of God, growing up with my mother and father. But they'd pray all of those places. We had houses just thrown in our yards, but our house stood. Just stood. No water never got in our house. How can water get 18 feet high and not get into a house 3 foot off the ground? You figure it out and let me know. We didn't go out there to see how God done it. They had 125, 135 mile an hour wind out there. But we didn't flood. I had people would tell us, they say, we don't know how y'all did it. Say, we didn't. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. Everybody was screaming and crying and praying. And mama was singing, praise him, praise him. People look at you nuts when there's 135 mile an hour wind out there. And you're going, praise him. Praise him. The Baptist singing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. The Presbyterians doing this. You never hear nothing from them. I went to a lot of churches. I preach in Presbyterian churches. You know, you don't preach like this. You walk to the side, up into this beautiful little pulpit. They close the door behind you, and you're like this, all the people over here. I said, praise, this is wonderful. I went, glory! And I kicked the door off the thing. I didn't know it was that close to me. Bam! And the minister got up and said, you can walk down here if you'd like, Reverend. I said, thank you. I love the Presbyterians. It's an honor to preach in their churches. What are you saying? Keep your foot on the devil's neck. If you don't believe what I'm preaching, such a simple statement, you'll die. You people that preach against faith, you watching my television. Come here. You don't believe this stuff, the devil will kick you from New York to California. He'll make you think God's trying to teach you something. All you're going to get is a sore rear end. I want to let you know. He's going to beat your brains out. You better take the shield of faith, stick it in front of your face, and quench all fiery darts of the devil. Keep the devil under your feet and walk with your mom and your God. Glory to God. Listen to what I'm saying. You don't believe this, you'll die. And the devil will kill you. And somebody will preach some dumb funeral over you. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Well, if he giveth, why he want to take it? When I give my wife something, I don't let her play with it for 2 hours. Say, okay, give it back. When she wants a new dress, she wants it now. She told me this the other day. Jesse, I'm giving some dresses away. I said, why are you telling me? I just want to let you know. Harvest time is coming. I know what you're saying. Put your neck. Try and put my foot on it, boy. And take me to Lily Rubin. Praise God. I was in the Hilton Hotel just a while yesterday. I was walking around and I saw this store that said coat of arms. Y'all might have seen it over there. And I looked and I said, Kathy, let's go look in there. She said, what do you want to look for there? Your family don't have no coat on. Y'all came from a bunch of peasants. I said, well, you bayou girl. I found web between your toes when I first saw you. Well, so what if I didn't have a coat of arms? I got one now. I got the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, the shield of the faith, breastplate of righteousness. I got a coat of arms, brother. I got the clothes of God, clothed with the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that stinking dead chicken chasing me all over, and I thought he had power. had me up against a fence fluffing me. That crazy chicken. My grandpa laughed about that till he died. I never forget one time he got real sick with cancer. I got him back. I was about 12, 11 years old then. I threw one of them spurring chickens at him. That chicken spurred my grandpa. Oh. I said, what's the matter, man? I said, shoo that chicken in the corner, paw, paw. He said, go get me an axe, son. I'll start cutting your head off first. Okay. Never I thought that my daughter would ever experience that. We bought a house in Houma, Louisiana. It was a wonderful little house. My God, it was a small house, wasn't it, Kathy? Our bathroom was so small you could sit on a john and put your hands in the laboratory at the same time. I'm telling you, this was a small place, son. I had a 600-pound aunt. Remember Aunt Elsie? She wanted to come to the bathroom. She said, I want to use your bathroom. I said, Aunt Elsie, I'm going to have to take you to the Shell station. Remember this? That's a true story. She went home to be with the Lord. I said, you got to go to the Shell station. I said, you'll go through the floor and there ain't no way you can fit. She opened it. She said, oh, I can't fit in there. I drove her to the Shell station. Remember that, Kathy? I said, hey, can we use your bathroom? That man said, yeah, boy, here come my great aunt. I mean, my aunt Walker. He went, ha! I said, is your John on a slab? He said, yeah. I said, thank you. Now, remember that, Kathy? I had to take her to the Shell station. But she didn't mind. She could care less, man. Didn't make her no difference. I'll never forget that, man. I was so embarrassed, but she couldn't fit. And she told me, she said, you know, I don't know why I'm fat. I said, well, it's that gallon of ice cream every night, and also that, you know, might have something to do with it. And she had that Cajun brogue. May you think so? I said, I think so. She said, but I like it so much. I said, it likes you too. It just hugs you everywhere. She was 600 pounds. I mean, her calf was as big as my waist right here. I said, my God. I said, what size stockings you wearing? I said, she said, there's none to fit. But she went home to be with Jesus. She's skinny now. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. How do you do that? By fasting and prayer. By number two, speaking the word. You know, Gloria's preached on this passage of scripture, 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You know, we read right over that. For whatever is born of God. How many of y'all born of God? Hold your hand up. Hold your hand up. Everybody turn around. Look at overcomers. Look at the overcomers that are in this building. Look at the people in the wheelchairs. They got their hands up. They're not denying the wheelchair. They deny its right to stay there. They're overcoming. They're not becoming. They're overcoming. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Notice, overcometh. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, your faith. I don't know why people preach against faith. Because there's your victory. There's your overcoming power. You speak the word just as Jesus said. I'm not saying it's easy. You got children that are doing wrong things. It's not easy. There's been times, I tell you, my daughter has been a blessing. We never really had much trouble with Jody, except for maybe one year. We moved and she had a little bar friend and boy, I tell you what, she just did not want to move. And to me, I told her, just move, girl, get some new friends. By God, there's a lot of fish in the sea. But she had only a hook for one little boy, and I didn't like him to start with. I was glad I was moving from him. But you know, if you tell him you don't like him, that makes it worse. And I couldn't lie and tell him that I did like him because I didn't like him. I was wrong. I made him feel very uncomfortable when he got around the house. He said, y'all have something to drink? I said, no. I said, he cut the water off. We didn't pay the bill. I mean, he got the picture, you know what I'm saying? So I guess I ought to go. Then she brought over another boy, ugly son. I thought, ugly, good Lord. His head looked like a hatchet. In fact, I looked at him, remember that song? I said, boy, your daddy named Hatchet Head? Boy, I tell you, when you was born, they grabbed you by the head, son. Your brain's fitting in a valley this wide. So he left. Had one came down with two earrings. He said, sir, did I talk to Jody? I went, sir, no. Remember when I said that? Okay, dude. I said, okay, dude. Jody came down the stairs and said, Daddy, was that for me? I said, oh, no, that was not for you. Not that. So what was you doing? Keeping my foot on them devil's necks? You thought I was off the sermon. No, you got to protect your children. If you don't, the devil will destroy them. Here's another thing to keep your foot on the devil's neck. Don't give him any glory. I used to hate testimony services. You ever hear, remember those testimonies? Anybody here got a good testimony? A good one. That's what the preacher said. Anybody got a good testimony for Jesus? Somebody jump up and say, I tell you what, they've been kicking my brains out for 47 years. I'd look out and say, man, they got a lot of brains. They lasted that long. My God. You know, I've had two tumors sticking out of my side here. Bless God. And they start comparing scars with each other. Anybody said a good testimony about Jesus? I had one woman. I did it about 3 years ago. I hadn't done it in years. I just happened to do it. It was a mistake. I missed God. I had to repent. I said, has anybody here got a good testimony? Remember that woman? She jumps up and said, I want to thank God tonight I'm here. The reason why I'm here is because God killed my daddy today so I could come to church. She said that. Remember that guy? I went, sit down. People are just, that ain't no good testimony. What are you saying? I'm saying, don't give him any glory. How do I not give the devil glory? Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Yeah, some people want to live in the Spirit, but don't want to walk in the Spirit. That's done on a daily basis. That's how Joshua did. He said, just tell the kings to bow. Tell the men, put the feet on the necks. We're running this show now. We live in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. Now, you know, Jody, I never thought she'd ever see a dead chicken running around with his head cut off. But we bought this little house kind of on this lonely street. And I had this guy that was a fruitcake lived next door to me. Nuts. And he kept a duck. He had a duck. It was a demon-possessed duck, too. It was related to that chicken that died years ago. You'd look at that duck and he'd go, ah, ah, ah. Jerry Savelle had a demon-possessed swan. I was preaching with Jerry and I saw him running out. His own duck, a bird, was running him out the yard. Him and John Wood, right? I saw him run. I said, boy, what Jerry doing? That old swan. Ah. But Carolyn took care of that swan. Ba-doom! Oh. End of story. She may look small, but she got a big gun, son. Took care of that bird, bless God. I bet that makes some swan gumbo. How you make a swan gumbo? Just throw him in. He'll dive in the water, glory to God. This guy fed this duck till it got big. He's a good friend of mine. His name was Dave. He's a good guy. She knocks at my door. Remember that, Kathy? Kathy was so mad at me for 3 days. And Dave said, hey, Jesse, you want to see me kill a duck? I said, what? He said, you know that duck I got back there? I decided to kill him and roast him. You want to see me kill him? I said, no, not particularly. He said, well, come on outside and just talk to me. He said, you know, you've been complaining about that duck hollering. You can see him say his last squawk. I said, that's right. I don't like that duck. Let me go out there and watch you kill that duck. This is a true story. This happened in 1976. Huh? 76. I went out there. And Dave, boy, he grabbed that duck, and that duck, honk, honk, honk. I said, I looked at him and went, I did that myself. I don't know what it meant, but he was insulted, I could tell. He took that duck, he said, listen, I want to use your oak tree. I had a big oak tree in my yard. He took that duck's neck, head, and stuck it over there. He said, give me that hatchet. He bothered to cut that duck's head. I said, stop, don't, wait, wait. My daughter was only 5 years old. I said, Jody! Come outside! Daddy want to show you something! Come, baby! What you want, Daddy? Just come! Come here, baby! Boy, Jody coming, and I said, cut the duck's head now. Wham! He cut that, and Jody went, ah! And I said, throw the duck! And he threw that duck, ran after my daughter. And Jody, ah! And Kathy said, you better go on another revival right now. And don't you come back to this house until I have crucified this flesh. Hey, I thought it was funny. I was trying to teach her the same system that was taught me. But there's some things that should not be taught. So I called home 2 or 3 days. I said, how you feel, Kathy? And women are so funny. Women are not like, men are like dogs and women are like cats. That's really true. Men are like dogs. Cats, women are like cats. Don't mess with me. And a cat will whip a dog in a 9-line second ball. Now a dog, he, and you slap him, he just look at you. Now cat, you don't mess with no cat until they're ready. That's true. Women are just like cats. You can tell when they're mad about something. They got that look like, ding, 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 ding. And that man going, or fast. Aren't they like that? A cat don't want to be messed with until she want to be messed with. Now a dog, he'll scream at the moon. He just look at you and spit running out of his mouth. That's how men are. All of a sudden that cat'll get up and walk over to you in a slow manner and just go, and that old dog, and if you get too close, okay. How many of you men know what I'm talking about? I see y'all doing this to your wife. I see that one woman going, you. So how do you know when Kathy's not mad? If her back is not bent, she ain't mad. I walk in that house and if Kathy says, hi, Jesse. Ooh, praise God. So if I walk in that house, you go, because you know women are not the weaker sex. You know that's not true. Women are controlling the world, bless God. I know they are. They're powerful people. And really, they've taken the place of a man in terms of family raising. Men should be the spiritual head of the house, and a lot of them are not. But they're like an old dog. They're on the hunt somewhere. But that mama cat said, come here. And she cuddles him. I had a hard time with affection. Because our grandfather, as much as I loved him, he didn't believe in affection. He didn't believe in showing that you're a man, boy. I said, but I'm 5. You be a man, son. I don't want that crying, you understand? Crying is for girls. I remember one time I picked up my sister's baby doll. I look at it, my grandpa slapped it out of my hand. What's the matter with you, boy? You getting funny on us? I said, no. He said, you want to play with the doll? Here's a gun, boy. Shoot the doll, boy. Be a man. So I learned not to cry. I couldn't cry. Just didn't cry. Girls cry, but men don't cry. I mean, I could go outside in a Mack truck and run over my legs, bones hanging out. My dad and grandpa come out and say, stand up, boy. Be a man. Put them bones back in your leg, boy. I ain't paying for them bones. Okay. How many men were raised like that? Hold your hand up. So men have a large... Kenneth Copeland said something today really blessed me. Right in front of all these thousands of people, he's standing there. He says, come on, Gloria. Gloria comes walking out. He says, I love you. I didn't say I love you to that woman until 5 years after I married her. 5 years. Am I telling the truth, Kathy? I was a weird dude. I didn't say that. Because, hey, man, what's the matter with you, man? You're a man. See, men do that. A woman will look at her husband and say, honey, come here. Come here. She's like the cat. She purring, see? And he like an old dog. She said, calm down. Listen. Listen. Now watch this. But men freak out over those three words. They have a hard time with that. They think it's weakness. So that woman says, and tell me if I'm... I want you women to agree or disagree with me. You'll tell your husband, honey, especially men about my age. Honey, I love you. I love you. Man goes, me too. How many of you ladies know what I'm talking about? Why can't he tell you, I love you? Say, I love you. And a man goes, me too. And you say, say it. Say it. He said, well, you know what I mean. What? See, that's that. Hey, you a man. But Jesus stood before a congregation and before a whole city and cried. It takes a strong man to cry. And when God touched my heart, it blew me away. When I got saved, many of you know it, I didn't get saved in a church. I got saved in a bathroom in Boston, Massachusetts. Every time I go to the bathroom, I get excited. I use the bathroom in the Hilton Hotel downtown. I went, glory! Clean the place out. People get nervous. Boy, you start shouting in the bathroom. You can get in there quick. Or if you want a witness, wait till they sit down in them stalls. You got them. And then preach. You're going to hell! Repent! You're here banging the doors. Who's out there? Keep your foot on the devil's neck. He cannot hurt you if you have your weight on his neck. Now, that's not hard doing that. Because God's given you all the ability to do that. You don't do that in your strength. You do that in the strength of God. And how do you do that? Finally, you don't agree with him on nothing. I'll say this in close. Very simple. I believe I said this in our Southwest Believers Convention. I don't have a family doctor. I'm 42 years old. I look 50, but it's the anointing of God on my hair. Don't I look young when I get closer to it? Come on, help me out, brother. Okay. But I had to go and get a physical. So I said, okay. They said, what doctor do you use? And I have nothing against doctors. Don't misunderstand me. And I thank God for doctors and medicines, and I'm glad for them. I just want one that knows what he's doing. I'm tired of these practicing kind. I'm tired of this. Try this stuff, and it don't work, come back. Well, give me my money back if it don't work. Why you want to charge me $150? Give me something that works. But anyway, so I went. And they said, Reverend Duplantis, you're going to have to go through a complete physical, electrocardiograms, the whole work. Because I just built this house and the insurance company and all that kind of stuff. Wanted to see if I was in health. And I told them I was in health. I said, I'm in health. They said, you're in health. I said, yes, I'm in health. Well, how do you know you're in health? You don't even have any medical records. I said, well, the Lord quickened my mortal body. They went, yeah. I said, quicken. It means make alive. Don't I look alive? Yes, sir. But we'd like to have the opinion of a physician. I said, Jesus is a physician. I said, I'm trying to save you people some money. Y'all want to go spend $200 or $300 or $600, whatever it was, on that physical? Well, we'd just rather do that. I said, okay. So I go in there and I sat down, and they put you in those little rooms and make you sit on them tables with that paper on it. You sit down there and you move. And they said the doctor be in a minute, and they hang this little chart looking thing. I knew they wasn't nothing on my chart because I'd never been to a doctor. Don't have a medical doctor. Finally, this doctor comes in with them little glasses. He says, boy, you ain't never been to the doctor. I said, no, sir. He said, well, we got to give you a physical today, Reverend. He said, tell you, since you hadn't been used to these things, what we're going to do and all this kind of stuff. And first thing he tell you to do is take your pants off. And the place is cold. I said, you don't have a cloth? I don't like sitting on this paper. You hear that, doc? He said, yeah, you ain't got no cloth. I mean, I'll pay for the washing of the cloth. No, I got to use the paper. I said, okay. He said, I need to get a little family history on you. I said, fine. So he takes his clipboard out and he says, have you ever had any diabetes in your family? I said, yes, sir. My mother was a borderline diabetic. I had a great aunt that died of diabetes. I didn't meet her. She died before I was born. He went, and he checked me off. He just checked me off. He says, is there any cancer in your family? I said, my grandfather died of cancer. I said, I had two aunts die of cancer. He went, check me off. He said, you haven't had any heart trouble in your family? I said, yes, sir. I said, my father's had 4 heart attacks. My father's brother died of a heart attack on a rig out in the Gulf of Mexico. He went, check me off. I got enough of that checking off stuff. And I got to thinking, it wouldn't be for me. He wouldn't have a job. This is it. I'm not taking this no more. So I took his clipboard. I just got up off the bed. I took his clipboard. It shocked me. He said, what are you doing? I said, sit on the table, doc. He said, what? I said, sit on the table. He said, what are you doing? I said, sit on the table, doc. And we in here in this little room. It's making him nervous. I knew that. So he sat up, and I waited for the sound. I said, I want to ask you a question. He said, what are you doing, Reverend? I said, sit down. I guess I scared him. Normally, most of them do. He sat down. I said, you ever had diabetes in your family? He said, what, what? I said, have you ever had diabetes in your family? He said, well, yes. Oh, and I checked him off. I had enough of that junk. You got any cancer in your family? Well, what do you say? I said, have you had any cancer? And I get a little loud. In your family? Well, yes. Oh, how about heart trouble, doc? He said, yeah. I went, And I gave him his clipboard. I said, I want to tell you something. I'm not genetically linked up with my family. I'm genetically linked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil's under my feet. He don't have diabetes, high blood pressure, or cancer. Do you understand that? And I'm not going to allow you to tell me what science says I have in my genes. I'm a new creature with a new feature and a new freedom and a new future. Therefore, if anybody be in Christ, didn't say, therefore, if anybody be in church. That's another sermon. I got to quit. He just was shocked. I said, I want to tell you something. I don't doubt your medical technology, but I don't have time to hear that trash. Now, what else are we going to do? He said, we're finished. That's what he said. I put my clothes on and got out of there. He forgot to take the electrocardiogram. Oh, I forgot to tell him. I'm about ready to leave. I said, let me ask you something, doc. Are you sick? He said, what? I said, are you sick? You don't look like you feel good, doc. And he said, yeah, I don't feel too good. I said, I'm going to pray for you and the power of God is going to heal your body. I said, bow your head. Doc went, what else you going to do? You got a wild, crazy Cajun saying things like that. He's shocked. I just prayed for him. Jesus, heal his body. I said it loud to his other patients. I want his patients to think that the doctor was saying that. Heal his body! Jesus' name! I looked at him and said, pleasure meeting you. I got out of there. He didn't take my electrocardiogram. I had to go back 2 weeks later. Insurance company said, you didn't take the electrocardiogram. I said, oh, okay, I forgot. So I got in there. I mean, and they had people lined up all over the walls of that room. This guy looked at me and said, boy, I tell you what, you got a long wait. I said, no, I don't. The Lord told me, he said, tell him, no, you don't. I said, no, I don't. He said, my God, I've been in here for 30 minutes and all these people are ahead of me. You're going to be here for a long time. I said, no, I'm not. And I was talking to the man and the door opened, the little receptionist, and I heard the doctor say, is that Reverend Duplantis out there? And the nurse said, yes. And I heard it tell that receptionist, tell him to come in. And that receptionist said, Reverend Duplantis, the doctor, see you now. And I looked at the man and said, you see? It was wonderful. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. So what are you saying? I walked in there, and you know what that doctor said? In 35 years of practice, I've never had anybody pray for me. You shocked me so bad, Reverend. To tell you, I thought you had a few screws loose. He said, but when you walked out, I felt better. He said, I was sick, man, I was sick. I felt better. I've never had anybody pray for me. You want to pray for me again? I said, yes, sir. I said, do you know Jesus? He said, yes. At least I thought I did. Tell me more about this God. And that doctor is saved today, full of the Holy Ghost. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. And one last scripture, Psalms 18. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies, that I, that means you, might destroy those who hate me. This is such a simple sermon. Simple. Simple. Yeah, I can preach revelation knowledge. I say, God, what do you want me to do in Anaheim? He said, let me tell you something. If you people keep your foot on the devil's neck in California, you won't have any more uprisings like you've had. You hear me? You won't have any more of that junk. And when the system fails, it's frustrating. And it's the most aggravating thing in the world. But God said, be angry. You can get aggravated. Be angry. But he says, sin not. And we ought to be able to be controlling our cities, our states, and our government. We should. But if we don't think we can, we never will. Why? Well, how do we do it? We use the stuff that you can't see. Now, faith is. Say this, son. Yes, Lord. The Lord's healing someone right now of a chest problem. You've been having pain. Stand to your feet and receive your miracle. There's more than one. People, pray with me right now, quickly. You're having pains right in this area. Stand to your feet, honey. Lift your hands up. The anointing of God's healing your body. Lift both hands up. Ma'am, lift your hand. Thank God for that. People, pray with me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're keeping your foot on the devil's neck. There's others. There's a person having a pain right under your neck in this area. Right now, if you'd stand to your feet and receive your miracle, God will give you a healing right now. Quickly. You've been having pain in this part of your jaw area right underneath here. People, pray with me. Come on. Yes. Stand to your feet. Believe God's word. Jesus is in this place. Come on. Lift your hands up. Thank God. Just let Jesus minister. Begin to pray with me quickly. People, pray with me. Come on. Healing's flowing in this place. Just put it right there, but hold on to it. People, pray with me. Come on. God's healing in here. I know it's late and we got to come back tonight, but you can get healed. Honey, thank Him for it. Come on, thank Him. Lift your hands up and bless the Lord. Jesus, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. It's time for her miracle. Faith is in the now. Yes, it is. It's now. It's not is faith now. It's now faith is. Let her miracle flow. People, pray with me. This person here, you've been having pain at the top of your head in this area. Excruciating pain. Stand to your feet and receive your miracle. I'm telling you, the Lord's in this place. Pray with me. Come on. I'm not just doing this for show. I'm not interested in show. I'm interested in miracle. There it is, honey. There it is. That's your miracle. People, come on, pray with me. Lift your hands up. You've been having pain in that part of your head. God, take care of that stuff. He wants you to enjoy this convention. Yeah, y'all stand to your feet. Lift your hands up. Somebody stand behind those people. Somebody get behind those ladies. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask you to touch them. Lord, they deserve a miracle. Lord, that lady with the red blouse, stand behind her, brother. Let the miracle of God begin to flow in her body. Lord, I speak that miracle today by your name. Lord, I thank you that these people standing up are receiving a miracle of Jesus Christ. By your stripes, they are. Before they ever got sick, they had an answer. Through the authority of the word of God, I speak that by faith in Jesus' name. Lord, we keep our foot on the devil's neck. People, lift your hands all across this building. Receive your miracle, lady. There it is. There it is. There it is. There's your miracle. That's going to stop. Pain to quit. You're going to enjoy yourself the rest of the time that you're here. Why? Because you won't hurt no more. Hallelujah. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, God, that the power of the Lord is ever present, Lord. That God's name is in this building, Lord. The name of Jesus, which is the name above all name for Dorothy, Lord. Dorothy came to receive. In the name of the Lord, I speak it by faith that every doctor, Lord, will see a result in her body. People, lift your hands up and believe God with Dorothy. Come on. Come on, the anointing of God's here. Hallelujah. She'll be all right. Oh, yeah, honey, just thank Him for it. Stand to your feet, ladies and gentlemen, and thank the Lord. Come on. Come on, thank the Lord. Lift our hands up and thank the Lord. So now let's pray. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But if you don't know my friend Jesus today, say, you mean you don't give these kind of altar calls at believers' conventions? Yes, you do. If you don't know Christ today, you need to get saved. What a place to get saved, but at a believers' convention. If you're not where you should be with God, then you need to come back to God. I'm not saying you backslidden to hell, but you not living the way you should live. You need to get out of your seat and come stand here and be honest enough to say, Jesse, I've heard this message, but I hadn't lived it. I hadn't lived the way I should live. I need to live the way God told me to live and walk the way God told me to walk. I want everybody praying. If you don't know Christ today, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat quickly and come up here. Or if you're not where you should be, you need to come quickly. You're not backsliding to hell, but you're not living the way you should live. Get out of your seat and come up. I want everybody praying right now. The Lord told me to do this and we're going to do it. Hurry quickly. You can walk to this front fast. It's not going to be easy. Your body going to tell you no. But if you'll come, God will help you. Come on, honey. Just come and kneel before the Lord. Come on. We'll take time for you to get saved. We'll take time for you to come back to God. We'll take time. Just come and kneel around this altar. Come on, people, pray with me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on. if people being honest enough to say, hey, I'm not living the way I should. Say, Brother Jesse, I don't even know God. I just came because somebody invited me to come. I saw Kenneth and Gloria Copeland on television, and I decided to just come see them. And now the Lord is touching your body. The Lord is saving you. You that are believers, oh, you that are believers, come and lay hands on them, please. Some of you believers. Hallelujah. Be kind with these people. Come. Look at this. This is wonderful, Lynn. Hallelujah. If people need help, I ask some of you, come and pray with me. Come on. This is the greatest miracle. I wish I'd have had somebody pray for me when I got saved. I had to wait 4.5 months to get somebody to lay hands on me. There's a man, you in this section right here, and the Lord told me, you're so bitter against preachers because one preacher wronged you desperately. I know it. He did you wrong. Well, why are you going to hell because of what somebody did you? Why are you taking out on God? You said, God, let him do it. No, it's the devil that came against you and that man. But the Lord told me to tell you, if you'll come, you don't have a root of bitterness, mister. You got a complete tree growing in you. It will strangle you and strangle your family. But if you come today, God will uproot your tree, plant you in good soil. It's going to take some guts to get out of that section and walk down here. But if you'll come, God will honor you. People, come on, pray with me. There are people crying all over the front of this thing. Come on, the Holy Spirit is in this building.